What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. It's a Tuesday afternoon, boys and girls. It is mid-January, January the 14th specifically. Year of our Lord, 2025. Can you believe it's 2025 already? And not only are we not talking about coaches being fired or hired, or general managers for that matter, that happened a year ago tomorrow. We're talking about a playoff game. That's right. A second playoff game, not just the first. No, no, no. The calendar was actually... right on track this year. Woo! So here it is, January the 14th, and we're talking about a second playoff game. That's because the Commanders took care of business on Sunday night. That's right. Sunday night in Tampa. And here to talk about it over the next 3 hours, that and much more, is the man himself, the living legend. When everybody sees him, they just part ways. They stop talking. And they just gravitate, and they feel the aura. They feel the it's like when we often refer to this movie, Coming to America, when King Joffe Joffer shows up, and he's got the mink coat, and he's got the rose petals, and he's got all the bodyguards. That's how the DOC is.
I'm not a physician. He's thinking about it, but he's reaching. That's cool.
That's how the DOC is.
It's good to see you. We only have 3 hours.
I heard you flew home privately from Tampa after doing the postgame shows.
Yes, I did. Yeah, absolutely.
You have a private plane?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
Yes, I do.
Man alive.
Yes, I do.
Can I take it to Detroit this week?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yes, you can.
All right, Matty, you want to come along with us?
Sure.
Detroit Rock City, baby?
Go for it.
All right.
Yeah.
The DOC, Richard Doc Walker, is in the house. Good afternoon, Doctor.
Rooster, I'm always in a great mood when we win. This is an elixir for me. It's a tranquilizer.
That you're about.
It's it.
Yeah.
I don't know much.
I mean,
you know winning.
You know this. You know I like more than just winning and more than just games, right? I like to talk about all the juicy storylines and who's going where and who's doing
like
what.
You like the Empire State Building and you like, you know.
Oh, don't worry. I got something coming for you on that.
No, I am off my A game because the fires in Los Angeles, wherever you grow up, that should never leave
sure.
you. You should always have a connection to how you grow up.
Sure.
I'm just kidding with you on that, and I was so proud of the Rams and McVay.
Mm-hmm.
That's not easy to pick up and move out
no.
when your family's behind.
No.
It's different if everybody's with you. they're still there.
Yeah.
So if the air quality's bad, guess who's breathing it? They are.
Yeah.
And that's always, you know, in the back of your mind. But you develop that ability as a professional athlete to departmentalize things. That's why you're a pro and others aren't. So people go, how can you do that? That's why you get paid. It's like a tightrope walker. That guy's on that string because he's better than you and I are because he trains for it. But they're still human. And the way they did that, and to the Minnesota fans and the fans that went there and made that place feel like a real bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, I mean, just kudos to them. We can be, when we're not full of manure, the best people on the planet. When we all come together for a cause, it's unbelievable. Love the firefighters, gotten everybody all in. Yep. No hate, no
game. Rams are all wearing the LA.
Yeah, no social, FD. Economic, no yep. financial barriers, just all for one. It's just so crazy that it takes a catastrophe every time for us to drop all the BS and then unite.
It's a fair point.
Yeah. It's a fair point.
So why don't we start there?
No. Don't make me change. No. Gotham.
We're going to get into the Commanders.
Then I feel bad if you don't do Gotham first.
We're going to do Gotham. Trust me. I promise you.
Okay, good. Because I got
a big thing coming for you.
Okay, I know you do. Your boy's still out
there.
I got a big thing coming for you. All right.
But last night, before we get to the Commanders, before we get to that, before we get to your favorite team, the Cowboys.
They're not my favorite team. I have a dear friend that's in pain, and I'm not going to mock him because this is unfamiliar territory for them. As much as we talk about them and kid them, they're usually always playing. We're the ones outside.
That is true.
Over the fence.
On January 14th, they're generally still alive.
They're playing. Yeah, they're playing.
Not this year, though.
Don't think so.
So last night in Glendale, as you mentioned, 27-9, the Rams just completely kicked the Minnesota Vikings ass. Before we get to the Vikings and the fallout from there and what's going to happen there and all that, you mentioned the fires and obviously everything that the L.A. Rams organization and other L.A. sports teams and all of the residents of many different municipalities. And I'm not as familiar. You know, Matt's sister lives out there. You know, you're from there. I've been in Los Angeles.
Santa Ana wins, brother.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in Santa Ana.
It's
all that. It matters, and you can't.
You still
even
have family there, right? Friends there.
Yeah, friends and family. You know, classmates, alums. How fast it can happen.
Yeah,
you can't even fathom it. We can't imagine your whole house being burned up 20, 30 minutes. You just can't even foresee.
Well, when you see some of those winds,
man, it's 100 miles per
hour.
Yeah,
when you see some of those winds, you can see how this thing just. Obviously, you know, and again, that's not our area of expertise, but what our area of expertise is, to me, Doc, I was not surprised that the Rams were the better team last night than the Vikings because I've never trusted Sam Darnold ever, even throughout
this
year.
It's pretty good to
see. Yeah?
Yeah.
But here's the deal. I wasn't surprised that the Rams were able to win that game, but in no way, shape, or form did I think it would be complete dominance. And when you look at what the Rams were able to do, I mean, people are going to say, well, they scored 27 points. That's great and all that stuff. Yeah, they scored 27 points, but 7 purely off of defense, off of a fumble return, 57 yards by the rookie Jared Verse from Florida State, who's been awesome.
Their whole D-line.
Was an
young,
old pro. Right. Exactly.
Animals. You never hear nobody talking about a bag.
And
all they do is get raise hell.
After replacing Aaron Donald.
The best
after
in the world.
After replacing Aaron Donald. They had a 13-yard touchdown pass that came after another turnover on a 39-yard drive. They had a 51-yard drive that ended in a field goal. And that was really all the scoring that they needed. Mm-hmm. Meaning, it wasn't about their offense. The first drive was about their offense. After that, it was about their defense, kicking ass, taking names, creating turnovers, sacking Sam Darnold, 9 times? I think it was a total of 9 times. Maybe it was 8 times, whatever it was. And
who does Sam remind you of?
Forcing short fields and turnovers.
From what
who does
saw?
Sam remind me of?
Recent memory. We just experienced it last year.
Sam Howell.
Yeah. You know the guy's open when if we're not playing, we don't know what's going on. We're just onlookers. Mm-hmm. Dude, get rid of the ball. He holds it, sack, 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 sack. So this is something internal. Now, his internal clock is shot.
Yeah.
And so at that point, he's exposed. Nobody has made more this year and lost more in 2 weeks. Took him 14 weeks to earn it, 2 to lose it. And at this point now, it becomes it becomes brain damage.
Yeah. They did have 9 sacks last night by my count. Nine sacks.
Yeah.
And listen, you mentioned in two weeks. I don't think he's lost everything. He'll still get a job somewhere, and maybe he'll be able to compete for a starting job. I would presume that he would be able to, maybe in New Orleans, or we'll have to see. But I don't think it's in Minnesota, A. B, when you look at the mental resolve of what the Rams went through last week, where they weren't able to practice at their facility, had to relocate 400 people on the Cardinals' planes, and the Cardinals did a tremendous job, too.
Tremendous.
Getting to Glendale on Friday night, doing all that, so it sort of looked like on TV.
Cardinals sent their planes.
Yes. So it looked like a Rams home game, all of that, the crowd that showed up, all the tickets that were bought, blah, 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 blah. But then for the Rams to come out and stomp a mud hole in them, I could have seen them winning this game, even though I picked the Vikings to win. My fault.
No, you didn't.
I did. And I think a lot of people did, too. The Vikings were favored. I think a lot of people thought the Vikings, with everything that the Rams had gone through, the Rams had rested their starters in Week 18. The Rams had been terrible on offense for the last four out of the last 5 weeks.
And I didn't know Shula's grandson was that good.
Chris Shula put on.
This dude.
Yeah, he was.
He's
aggressive.
The next thing.
He was aggressive.
Because they're young, and if they stay together, it's frightening how good they are this young. You know how hard it is to get pressure. We beg for it every week. They have it on demand, and they got young people in the secondary that can cover in man. Yeah. They're different, man.
You know they got Cam Curl on that team?
And he's playing his butt off.
Emmanuel Forbes, too.
Playing their butts off.
Yeah.
Well, Forbes,
I didn't see last night. I don't even know if he was active last
night. Forbes got to prove to me he can handle a beat in the NFL.
Curl had 4 tackles, and you see him. And, they're moving their safeties all around and whatever.
Yeah, that was good. If you don't have a horse in a race and you just like ball, how can you not like the Rams?
No, I mean, everybody loves, I think everybody, around the NFL loves McVay, right? I mean,
and his quarterback.
You and I knew McVay when he was 23 years
old. He was a badass then.
Old.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the day that I met him. It was right before Mike Shanahan's first training camp here in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And I went. And they had, downstairs in the old cafeteria, right? They had, a meet the coaches kind of day.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to go – I wanted to go talk to the defensive line coach. The hell was his name? Jacob Birdie.
Yeah.
You remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Because of Albert Haynesworth.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was a 3-4 defensive line and so on and so forth. And Jacob was sitting at a table. And next to him – was this young kid who barely had hair on his chest, Sean McVay.
Mm-hmm.
And I, introduced myself to Jacob, and Sean stepped right up, and he was like, "Hey, I'm Sean McVay. Nice to meet you, Chris, da-da-da-da-da." And I had no idea who he was. No clue. Mm-hmm. Until after that day, when I actually looked it up, I said, "What was that guy's name again? Sean what? Who is he?" He was 23 years old, barely had hair on his chest. He was an offensive quality control guy. Mm-hmm. And by the end of that first year, even before the end of that year, he's the tight ends coach. Because he was that good and because he was that smart.
Well, when you're privy to the 49ers organization as a toddler, and there's a genius running that, they just had too many, the mind power, brain power in Frisco was so far off the charts.
Yeah.
And you're there sucking that in, feeding that in. It's like Shula's grandkid.
Yeah.
The family dinners, Thanksgiving, they're not talking about energy, and the price of gas. They're talking about zone coverage.
It's funny how it sometimes jumps,
generation?
Generations.
Yeah.
Right? Because nobody would say that Mike Shula, Don's son, is super smart. And now Chris Shula is becoming, you know, partially because of what they did last night on national television for everybody to see.
They've been balling, and the way they did it.
But they've been good all along. Yes. And now that was their coming out party that America got to see. But interesting how, like, if everybody's like, oh, you know, well, same thing kind of with Sean. Sean's dad, not even involved in football. I'm not saying he's not a smart guy.
Yeah.
Not even involved in football. Went from grandfather to grandson.
Mm-hmm.
And I challenge anybody, whether you think Sean McVay is a little bit overrated or not, whether you're tired of the Shanahan family thing. And really,
all in the playoff.
It wasn't only Shanahan. I mean, we got to say this. Got to give credit to Bruce, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bruce was very instrumental in making sure that Sean McVay, A, didn't get fired like everyone else did at the end of the 2013 season, and B, in making sure that Jay Gruden.
Get Jay some credit.
And Jay deserves credit, too.
Jay had two of his dudes in the big one. Yeah.
Yeah, but making sure that Sean not only was retained, but also was elevated and given more responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And they're not, the thing I gathered from them, and I most on our trip to England, is that they were all privileged, but I didn't find any of them one-on-one to be jerks.
No.
That was the coolest part.
Yeah.
You know, that you could have one-on-ones and talk to them about ball, and they were ears and also receptive. And that was the coolest part about all of them being there. I felt worse for Shanahan because I never felt that he needed to follow his old man. This dude's a different dude. He's a baller all the way, lunatic in the right way. And I thought that his deal down in Texas, the way he was built, was in Houston.
Kyle was. Before coming here.
He never needed to come here.
Yeah.
He had already set his path.
Yeah, but he wanted to work with his dad. You know? And they did have the one year.
Say that, but do we know that, or did his dad want him to work, or did mom want him to work with dad? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
this dude was
balling down. As far as I know,
yeah,
he wanted to work.
Because he had quarterback.
Yeah.
He just had the fundamentals. Over and over and over, we keep talking about them. They're all relevant.
Yeah.
They all win. None of them suck. Nobody's in last place. No personal. Not trying to talk about you boy, but that's the thing I like about them. They're all highly competitive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And McVay, I think you could see the spirit that his team plays with a lot. Not all the time, but a lot. And certainly last night when they needed it the most, the spirit that they play with, I'd like to believe, just like if Dan Quinn is about brotherhood and if Dan Quinn is about getting guys to believe in one another, mm-hmm, and the next guy and this, that, mm-hmm, and that rubs off and the identity and the DNA and all that stuff, which a lot of us believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to think the spirit of the Los Angeles Rams is partially a byproduct of the spirit and the energy and the juice that Sean McVay brings. That guy, mm-hmm, never, ever, 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 I don't know how these guys do it, sleeping 3 hours a night. I mean, he never seems to be low on energy. You know, never seems to be, like, kind of baffled or clueless. And maybe it's because he's still only 38 years old, 39 years old?
Hello, yeah.
Yeah.
That helps. He's not 68.
Right, that helps. I mean, when you're 65, there's a difference.
He's not overweight.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right.
He doesn't have bad, to our knowledge, habits.
Yep.
And he probably gets more sleep than you and I combined. No, seriously.
I mean,
key to his sleep.
Some days I feel like it.
Yeah, he probably gets.
You know, yeah, but I mean, maybe he gets home at 10 o'clock at night.
It don't matter. But it's the key about, you know, whatever his system. And we've seen him. We saw him here. Now, I mean, that was pre Super Bowl champion. That was pre a lot of things. And he's out there in that lifestyle. I'm proud of him. I really do like it. But it shows you it doesn't matter. The houses that they lived in all left burned up in 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's the thing you got to think of. All of that luxury, all that everything, and they have views. You've been out there, it's breathtaking.
Yeah.
But they say, the realtors tell you, I have to alert you, that the area is susceptible to,
well, not only
earthquakes,
but now, you know, as we've seen over the last several years,
but
wildfires.
That kind of money, you also have insurance.
Yeah. 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 Because you remember when the Chargers, I think, were still in San Diego or had just moved up or whatever, they had to move them, to Glendale, Arizona as well. All right. So, I mean, obviously, they were playing with a lot of emotion and energy last night. They went out and destroyed the Vikings 27-9. It was so bad that I think it was Akbar Baja Biamila, is on, I think he's on Good Morning Football. I don't know. All these guys kind of like just, like, they seem to be on every show. I think he tweeted out last night, and instead of saying Sam Darnold, he said Kirk Cousins, who, of course, used to play in Minnesota.
Yes.
But even Kirk Cousins was catching strays last night as Sam Darnold was getting his ass kicked. I'll get you the exact tweet when we come back on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Oh, yeah. Indeed, the Rams representing California better than the Chargers did. That's for damn sure on Monday Night Football last night as they whip up on the Minnesota Vikings 27-9. And now they go to Philadelphia, Doc, on a short week, right, which I know people don't want to hear about. And obviously, the Commanders are facing the same thing. Now, the difference, the notable difference, I would say, is one, shorter trips. Two, the Rams are dealing with life as much as they're dealing with football, right? I mean, they can shelter these guys to some degree, but you mentioned the Cardinals sending the plane, a bunch of their family, six dogs, two cats, all this stuff, all the different things that you may have heard reported over the weekend and last night's broadcast. You still... They didn't even know last night in the fourth quarter, according to the broadcast, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, they didn't even know if they were going to be able to practice at their facility this week.
Due to the air quality, right?
Right, due to the air quality.
How could you know? You can't know.
And that could mean, hey, we've got to relocate somewhere completely away to practice. Mm-hmm. And you might be able to do that somewhere else further south. You know, in Southern California, maybe in San Diego, maybe in Anaheim. I don't know. Or I guess they could probably put some things together quickly and get out to Philadelphia early. I don't know. But either way.
I don't know why they didn't stay. Think about being where you are in Phoenix.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Because you don't want to come back here with the potential of ice storms.
Yeah, maybe.
And then the game. And here's the other thing. This game, that was indoors. This is outdoors.
Yeah.
So now you've got to get your body acclimated to that.
That's fair.
And here's the things that no one else will tell you about because they don't know, because none of us would know unless you've been through it. It's not the guy. The player will be able to play. It's the one that has a daughter or a son whose dog or goldfish died in this process. The kids being distracted or being affected by this, that's what eats the dude alive.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, because those of us that are dads know what that pain
difference.
Is when your kid is emotionally shaken
and
traumatized.
You're a noodle. Yeah. You're a noodle.
Yeah.
That's
the
point.
And, you know, I mean, you don't have to be 51 like me or whatever in order to have kids and be affected by that because, you said, it could be literally their goldfish.
Or a dog, or a cat, or whatever.
I mean, it could be any of that, and it could play such an emotional burden. But it did not seem like at all last night that the Rams were even remotely affected. Now, maybe it was because the Vikings were so bad. I wanted to ask you this real quickly. I don't know if you were with the game at the time, but I know I was talking to some of my friends, right? And right before halftime, so it was... it was 17-3 Rams at the point.
The throw or not throw the pass that was not a fumble but a forward pass.
No. That was earlier, that really turned around momentum.
That was a game changer.
Yes. Now we'll get to that in a sec. But here's the question and the scenario that I just wanted to get your feedback on. 17-3 Rams at this point, near the end of the first half. The Vikings are sort of moving the football. They're exactly at midfield and they face a 4th-and-2. At the 50. Okay, so you're not plus minus territory. You're at the 50. Fourth and two. I don't remember if it was a long two or short two or whatever. Kevin O'Connell down 17-3. Offense struggling. He's already been sacked four or five times. He's already turned the ball over twice at that point. They go for it. In that spot, and that was with the Vikings having the ball to start the second half. So, meaning, it's not like you weren't going to get the ball maybe for half of the third quarter. You were going to get the ball at the beginning of the third quarter. This is late in the first half, down 17-3 at midfield. Would you, in that scenario, Kevin Chancellor?
Scenario, yes.
Would you have gone for that, knowing that you're going to get the ball at the start of the second half, knowing that you have to wake your team up, and knowing also that if you don't make it, right, you're giving the Rams basically a half a field to operate with, which still, I think it was like a minute and a half, I want to say, when Kevin O'Connell makes that decision.
The Rams never stopped their tight end. So here's what I go, I'm Detroit. Here's what I got going for me, my tight end and my two receivers. What I don't have going for me is I can't get my quarterback to actually release the ball to throw it to him.
Right.
So the question is, do I have Sam drop back or roll out? Because Sam's the problem. People are open. He won't throw the ball. So do I don't know. I know I don't have a guy can put the ball in his belly and give me four.
Right.
If I did, that's the way I'm going.
Right.
I don't think I can block him to get four.
I mean, Aaron Jones, well, blocking is block different than not having four. A guy.
Four-yard, fourth and four,
yeah.
I like run option. Sam's athletic enough. Sam's not a goof. Sam's a freak. Problem is, the grenade blows up in his hand. It's just like the kid we had here.
Yeah.
I can't make you throw the ball when a guy's open. Even our guy, JD5, who's a freak, he's eyeballing people, and he knows it. But he's so gifted. He can say, I probably should have done it, but since I didn't, how you like me now? Bing, 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 go make you go get you 4 or 5. But he'll tell you, I should have thrown that. But that's the part where you're at. Me.
And instead he takes a sack. Right.
But JD will avoid the sack.
Oh, yeah.
This guy has to take the sack.
Right. Which is part of the reason why I don't know if you should go for that if you're Kevin O'Connell, even though I get like what you're trying to do. You're down 17-3. You're trying to provide a spark. You're trying to get, hey, maybe I can get this fourth down. Yeah. Maybe I can get a field goal. Maybe I get a touchdown out of it. I go into the locker room down 17-10. I got the ball coming out. I understand the psychology of it, but this is what always drives me crazy about all these reckless, abandoned head coaches, right? And Dan Quinn was aggressive. I don't think he was reckless. I think Dan Campbell sometimes is reckless and aggressive. I think there are a lot of coaches now that are becoming more and more reckless as opposed to aggressive. I think Kevin O'Connell was aggressive but also reckless at the same point last night because there was nothing that happened in that first half. Nothing that happened in the first 28 minutes of the game or so that should have led you to believe that Sam Darnold on a fourth and two at midfield is going to release the football and get it out of his hands and make a play. Nothing.
I think
there was no evidence. And not only last night, but also going back to Detroit. Now, they moved the ball against Detroit on that Sunday night, but they didn't punch it in the red zone. They didn't score in the red zone. Why? Yeah. Some of the same problems.
The ball. But being a former quarterback, he knows this man just lost $1 billion.
Yeah.
He also, I remember when they sprayed all the 7-Up or whatever they sprayed on him in Minneapolis when they won. The last time they won, they treated him like he had just conquered Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a coach who played that position, he knows it's over. And I think he took one for a dude. And I admire him for that. Because if it worked, maybe I can put life back in him, and maybe we can win the game.
Yeah.
But if you don't get this, we're not going to win the game anyway. I think you pretty much understood we're not the best team today. I'm trying to save this guy's life because Sam could be borderline suicidal following what just happened the last 2 weeks in his life. Everybody thinks you got it made because you're a pro. Nobody would trade with him right now that's played this game because that's got to be terrifying to be that good at something and then come up short in this moment and be ridiculed, even though you're one of the top in the world at what you do.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah, and you know that no matter where you wind up going and how much money you get and whatever your role is, there's going to be a lot of doubt if you will, right? Yeah. Like, nobody's going, oh, hey, this might actually work out. This might be great. Now everybody's like, yeah, the last time we saw Sam Darnold, yeah. Splat, 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 splat. So
now
there's
Kirk
a lot.
Did the same thing.
Yep.
Kirk lives in the same world, yep. And Kirk makes a fortune.
Yeah, the difference is Kirk played at a high level for 6-7 years before he, well, not 6-7 years, but at least 3 or 4 years before he got his bag of cash, whereas Sam Darnold has not played well up until this year.
But to have been with the Jets.
I know.
To where he's been now.
I know.
So we're feeling sorry for him. Bring out the violins. He's going to have to sell for $30 million.
We'll figure it out. We know this. He ain't coming here.
We get $30
million. We got to do a trending.
Be a backup. Woo-hoo.
We got to do a trending alert when we return. I'm going to surprise Doc with something that he's not going to like.
Gotham.
He's not going to like, yes, and it has something to do with Gotham. The Big Apple, baby.
Let's go ahead.
Oh, yes, indeed. The Commanders on the practice field. Why on a Tuesday? Well, you ask, because they have a playoff game, a second one on Saturday night. We're going to get there in just a sec. They're not working with helmets. It's basically a light jog-through, walk-through, veteran rest days for Zach Ertz, Cleveland Farrell, Dante Fowler, Jamison Crowder, according to multiple reports. Meanwhile, could Joe Witt be going somewhere? We'll have the answer for that next, right here on the Team 980. We know Mike McCarthy is going somewhere. He obviously is not going to be the Cowboys head coach anymore after yesterday's transaction and yesterday's announcement. However, he is going to meet with the Chicago Bears on Wednesday, as they wanted to last week and were initially denied permission. He's also expected to speak with the New Orleans Saints, the two teams that Cliff Kingsbury is expected to speak to at some point, or at least the two teams that have expressed interest in him. The Browns have promoted Tommy Rees, former Notre Dame quarterback, to their offensive coordinator. He's the one of the youngest NFL offensive coordinators now at the age of 32. He was with Notre Dame and not only as a player, but also as a coach, and Alabama before joining the Browns staff of Kevin Stefanski last year. And that is what's trending. Doc wants to know, Matt, when the show is leaving for New Orleans.
Correction. I asked him, when are you leaving for New Orleans?
Well, I am the show. Kind of.
Well, you
sort
are.
Sort of. The show would come with me to New Orleans. So what you're saying is, forget about Detroit. Forget about Philadelphia or Los Angeles next week. Your mindset, you're already
finish line.
Thinking about.
I mean, I'm saying that tweet at your local Chris Kennard, that you should tweet at him and say, we want Chris Russell in a chicken pen outside the Saints Stadium for the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Now that,
everybody
now
else is going to be on media
idea.
Row. Chris is going to be in his own chicken pen outside. Everyone's going to want to join him.
Now that is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a good one.
I think Lepore came up with this idea, right?
We worked on it together. Lepore actually figured out how to send you down there. Yeah. I was like, just stick him in the back of a chicken truck.
He should sell a sponsorship for me, even though he doesn't work here anymore. That's what he should do.
Great.
You know, that's what he should do. Because I need somebody to sell something for me. Because your boy, I'm having a hard enough time just getting the Detroit component of this all worked out. Never mind, New Orleans in a couple of weeks. But, boy, oh, boy. Is that frightening to think about?
I mean, the perks of this,
frightening,
though.
Frightening is the wrong word. Is that just insane to think about? Here we are, mid-January. And, yes, we haven't touched on the Commanders just yet. We will. We got plenty of time. Don't worry. But they're two wins away from going to the Super Bowl. They're two wins away. Now, two wins is hard to get. A lot of work to do.
They are two wins away from going to
a Super Bowl.
In an any given Sunday league.
Or Saturday night.
And they're still developing.
Yeah.
The good news is that it's nowhere near a finished product.
Right. Well, that's what I said yesterday. I said this is probably the worst roster that Adam Peters is going to have.
Without doubt. And it might be when you say worst, not in a bad way.
Right.
This is the least explosive.
Yep.
It is. Everything it is may be least of, but.
It doesn't have the depth also. No. And that's typical of taking over a 4-13 team that was abused, quite honestly. I mean, if you think about, again, I mentioned this last week. I don't know if we talked about it or whatnot, because I didn't think about it until midway through the week. In week one in Tampa, Emmanuel Forbes started at corner. Fenarian Mathis was a key rotational guy at defensive tackle.
Big fella.
And Jamin Davis, I know he played 13 snaps and was a rotational end, edge, whatever. All three of those guys, Gonski.
And you get no benefit, no residual value.
Right, no residual value at all. So you know, and that's what I say. This is probably the worst roster in terms of not only maybe overall talent, but depth and other things, right? You think, because Adam Peters is so, he's playing a version of chess while maybe the previous regime was playing checkers.
But the next course, the next course, no matter how you fill the lineup, that destination is going to be treacherous to travel through. It's going to be the equivalent of going through the NFC North. Green Bay, Detroit, Chicago. I mean, it's.
You mean this, in the NFC East? Yeah,
next year's schedule.
Oh yeah,
it's like Blade
well,
Runner.
Well, that's why you will not hear me, and I'm going to get pummeled all off season. I'm telling you, 9 road games, a second place schedule, some of the opponents, some of the locations Blade that Runner. They've got to go to, all of that can't you know. And we have plenty of time.
And
to
the
talk
league
about.
Wants that.
And 5 primetime games
That's right.
A bunch of short weeks and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, again, everybody gets mad when I mention injuries. Such a huge part of and it doesn't have to be just injury to Jaden. I mean, look at what Houston and C.J. Stroud had to deal with this year. Maybe he's regressed a little bit, and certainly their offensive line is very, very, very shaky.
Minnesota lost their left tackle.
Yes. Well, yes, that's a huge part of last night.
Very important, their best player.
Absolutely. But like Houston, right, Joe Mixon missed a couple of games. Stephon Diggs was brought in by a trade. They had big plans for him. What did he play, 5 games, 6 games, whatever it was? Tank Dell was out for a while. I mean, they have had so it doesn't have to just be the quarterback that gets injured, and obviously that's the ultimate wild card, whatever, but it could be, knock on whatever,
it could be
a rash of injuries at your skill positions where you lose your starting, your number one wide receiver. You lose your top running back. You lose your top, on this team, their left tackle might be their weakest spot, I guess. You lose your center and your right guard, whatever. Whatever the case might be. Again, every year, every day, every week, every situation is different. We got plenty of time to talk about that, but here's where I wanted to go right off the shoot here. I purposely let this out of the trending alert, Doc, because you're going to love this. Ready for this?
Oh, I'm waiting.
I don't even know if you know this.
Empire?
You know what the New York Jets are up to, right?
No, because I don't. In order to keep up with unorthodox situations, you have to be partially insane. I never know what the Jets are doing or any of the bottom of dwellers in the league because they're insane.
Right, and you don't associate with
bottom
dwellers.
Insane,
right,
no.
Exactly. So, well, let me fill in the gaps for you, right? You know they have like Mike Tannenbaum and the 33rd team kind of conducting their head coaching and GM search.
I've heard it, but I don't focus on that. Yeah.
Tannenbaum used to be an executive there, all right?
Yeah.
And he's former NFL GM, so it's not like, oh my God, how could they do it?
It's basically
similar to the unconventional style
they all get paid.
Yeah.
They rotate them all. It's part of the NFL rotation.
But basically similar to the unconventional style that Josh Harris had, where he brought in Bob Myers, an accomplished executive from another sport, along with a former GM and Rick Spielman, right?
They all get paid.
Here's the deal.
They know when nothing.
Jets interviewed Ron Rivera, which a lot of people were up in arms about.
Why? Why would they be up in arms?
I don't know. The Jets interviewed Rex Ryan, their former head coach, who slobbers on ESPN every day or
Love
every
Rex.
Week
Love
about
Rex.
toes and about bye weeks and about wanting everyone else's job. Yeah. And he will, I mean, he would, I'm firmly convinced Rex would eat somebody to get a coaching job at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm not making fun of his weight. I'm just, you know, I'm just saying. But then today, they requested permission to speak to Cliff Kingsbury. Joe Witt Jr.
Yeah.
And
my people informed me of that this morning.
Okay, so you knew. So now Joe Witt Jr., listen, I'm a guy that does not, under any circumstances, blame coordinators like a lot of fans do, or coaching like a lot of fans do. Are they part of the problem? Sure. Joe Witt Jr. is not the problem for this Commander's defense, if you would consider it a problem. And I know stupid DVOA does. I don't care about DVOA. Here's the deal. Joe Witt Jr. has cobbled together, along with Dan Quinn, a mishmash of talent and pieces, and some pieces, quite honestly, weren't good enough for them, that started the roster, started the year, I just mentioned, right? And now here they are in the divisional playoff round. And oh, by the way, for anybody that thinks they didn't have a hand, you can debate how big of a hand.
Oh, no,
but they had a hand in Sunday night's playoff win, I think a fairly significant hand, much more, and I want to tackle that coming up in the 2 o'clock hour with you. I think they had a fairly significant hand. People are going to scoff and go, wait a sec, the Jets head coaching search is a joke. Why in the world would you speak to Joe Witt? His defense ranks blah, 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 blah. Why in the world would you speak to Ron Rivera? Why would you speak to Rex Ryan? Why would you do this?
I don't like this, Toe.
I know, Rex. Control yourself. I'm sorry. Control yourself. But I was even surprised by this because I guess I just didn't have it on my radar screen. But what do you make out of the Jets wanting to speak to Joe Witt? Is that just due diligence? Is that unfortunately checking a box? I don't know where they're at in terms of satisfying the Rooney Rule. I don't know. I would hope that they have more respect for Joe Witt than just checking a box. What do you make out of that?
Joe Witt's press conference here, it was the biggest buzz that went through Bergen and Gold Nation. That's how powerful he was. So he's an impressive individual. Anybody that doesn't tap in to try to figure out why it's working here, to me, you didn't do your due diligence. That's all this is right now is people are trying to get intel. I think it's smart because something unusual is happening here. Why don't you want to know why?
Yeah.
Aren't you curious?
That's a great point.
Didn't bring him in here, I have no respect for him anyway. I think they're a bunch of clowns.
Yeah.
But that showed me, oh, wait a minute. Maybe somebody over there does have a brain. Because I know a lot of people may have thought that was a joke to mention Joe Witt Jr. If you're not trying to figure out how this secret sauce is working here, you are a jackass.
It's a great point, because you're not going to be able to get Dan Quinn.
No, hell no.
Now, I don't know why you wouldn't try and get Cliff Kingsbury or why they haven't so far.
Because they know he's too smart. You don't go from – look at Kingsbury's style. First of all, it's just his style. It ain't New York.
Right. That's true. Well, that's a good point. I'm going to leave it right there because I'm going
to
come back with a couple of why Joe Witt Jr. as a potential head coach anywhere. It's not the craziest idea in the world, in addition to what Doc just said on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, coming up after 2 o'clock, could Joe Witt's defense get the job done against Ben Johnson's offense? Remember Ben Johnson, who, according to Jenna Lane of ESPN in Tampa, said she had heard that Ben Johnson wasn't too enamored with the Commanders ownership group because they were basketball guys and they thought they were too smart for themselves. We'll get to that. We'll tackle that after 2 o'clock, along with your calls at 301-230-0980. Mark and Mike, hang in there. We will get to you right away. But here's where I wanted to go. Doc brought up a very savvy point about trying to figure out the secret sauce to this brotherhood thing, to trying to figure out, okay, what makes it work with less talent? How do you get more chemistry? All that stuff. And maybe you can't get, again, you can't get Adam Peters. You can't get Dan Quinn. You might be able to get Cliff Kingsbury, although don't know about that. But Joe Witt might be the guy that you could secure. Joe Witt might be the guy that you could figure out, hey, man, what's the secret sauce? But let me give you one further point. Like, people that scoff at the Commanders' defense, which is just the most ridiculous thing in the world. And again, the other night, they had a big helping hand. A big help. How big? Well, that, you know, that can be argued. They had a big helping hand in winning that game. Joe Witt's defense, Doc, this year of the regular season, I know you love statistics.
Oh, love it.
Lower than the NFL league average by more than 10 yards in terms of total yards allowed per game. Lower than the league average, slightly, in yards allowed per play. Higher than the league average in rushing yards per game, which obviously was a big problem, and therefore rushing yards per play, but significantly lower than the league average in passing yards per game and passing yards allowed per play. In terms of first downs per game, the exact league average, 19.7. In terms of third down percentage, slightly lower than the league average by almost a little over 1.5%, 38.16%. League average, 39.69% allowed. Red zone, they were slightly higher, but not a tremendous difference. And goal-to-go percentage, because of the job that they did in Dallas, they were right amongst the league average. So this is a defense while people have scoffed at it from a stupid DVOA perspective and people have doubted it all year, far from pretty, far from great, far from dominant. But as I've said all along, Doc, this defense gives them a chance. And it gave them a chance to win on Sunday night. And by golly, they won on Sunday night. Believe it or not, it wasn't just Jaden Daniels by himself. Believe it or not.
This whole league is separated by X's and O's. Everybody had the same equipment, pretty much the same mental intel. What separates them is why Detroit is mysteriously in a zone of its own is because this man makes connections. Everything else, you can buy it, but that has to be developed. I remember people laughing at Quinn. You know, the slogans. We still mock some things, laugh anytime. You don't hear them laughing now.
Yeah.
So what happens is that he proves that despite the sewage trap he walked into, he's cleaned it up and not had one excuse about anything, despite having some losses and injuries. So this is what you got to look at, man. They've got something. I'm shocked. No more people haven't wanted to interview more of their people.
Well, Joe, I mean, specific to Joe Witt,
yeah,
he's an even, I think, steelier version of Dan Quinn.
Damn right.
And he ain't making excuses for anything either.
Nothing.
Not one bit. Not even if they get blown out in Detroit. 2 o'clock on the Team 980. We'll come back. We'll talk about how Joe Witt's defense can try and deal with that high-powered, high-octane attack of Ben Johnson next. And your calls, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.